Good. I just want to say it's a blessing to be in the house this morning with you guys and do this, to share his word with you this morning. I'm always uncomfortable doing it, but he always speaks and he always comes through. And so just listen for his voice today above mine. And yeah. And so today we're entitled, Who is My Neighbor? And this is still on our journey with Jesus, journey with Jesus. And better yet, the question is, who am I a neighbor to? So we're going to get into Luke chapter 10, but before that, let's do a quick prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. Help us to not just be the hearers of the word, but doers also. Let your love light and your love light a fire within us, that we may shine brightly for your glory in our homes, in our communities, and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to verses 30 through 37. You might recognize this story. It's the Good Samaritan. And some things to note about Samaritans and Jews, obviously in this time, they are at odds with each other in ways. They don't converse with each other. They don't talk to each other. They don't. I mean, there's like an animosity between them for certain reasons that went way before these, even this generation that's Jesus is talking to in here. And so there's already a barrier put up between Samaritan and Jew, and it's mostly that Jews look like they look down on Samaritans more than the Samaritans look down on the Jews. And so that's something to take note as we get into this. I'm going to pull it up here. Is it up there? Oh, it's up here. Perfect. I'll use that. So it says, Jesus replied with a story. And what he's replying to is the question of who is my neighbor from one of the Pharisees, one of the Jewish leaders, asked, who is my neighbor? And he says, Jesus replied, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man laying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. So we have a Jewish man in the ditch. He's beaten. I mean, just imagine it's one of you guys, and then you have one of the pastors, you know, just wandering by and being like, ooh, that looks like a bad situation. I got a sermon to go preach, you know, or something like that. And he just kind of passes him by. It's one of us. This is Jews and priests. This is one of them. There's no barrier. There's no animosity. These are part of the same group right here. And a temple assistant walked over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Okay, so we've got the Jewish priest, who's kind of like, we'll just call him head honcho, and then we've got this, what was he called again? Temple assistant. So we've got more people that are somewhat in leadership in the church and helping with the church, and they're just wandering by, almost kind of like this, like, oh, I didn't see that. I'm not gonna approach this. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Next verse. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. And so now we've got the Samaritan, the one where there's animosity against, somebody that's not in the house of the Lord with them. They're not in going to church with them. They're not, this person is probably somebody that we might even consider would be, we'll just say if we were a Jew, we would consider them the lowest of lows. And so then this is the person that actually comes and helps someone that considers them the lowest of lows. So maybe there's somebody that considers you the lowest of lows. I hope not. Probably not. But imagine going and helping that person. Imagine going and helping them. The next day that he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Okay? So he's not only soothed his wounds, he's taken him to an inn, taken him to Kamiyai Clearwater 12 Hotel, and he's paying for his stay for a couple days. But he tells the innkeeper, he says, hey, if he needs to stay longer, you have my word. I will come and pay. And there's no end on it, which is really kind of bizarre to me. Like, there's no ending to this. There's no, like, well, I'll pay for up to like a month, you know, or is it because I got to protect my cash, you know, or anything like that. It's literally whatever he needs, however long it takes, I will pay for this. So there's some pretty good compassion coming from a person who is looked down on by the person that's in the ditch. Wouldn't you say that's compassion? That's compassion. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. Notice he changed it. We started with someone asking, who is my neighbor? And Jesus changes this and says, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked? So this Jewish priest is looking at this from the direction of, well, who do I need to help? Who is my neighbor so I can know who I don't have to help, who I don't need to help? And then Jesus flips it on him and says, now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. And then the last verse, 37. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. We often ask, who is my neighbor? But Jesus flips the question. The real challenge isn't identifying our neighbor. It's deciding to be one. It's deciding to be a neighbor. And the better question is, who am I? Who am I being a neighbor to? This isn't just about geography or relationships. It's about the posture of our hearts. Are we living lives that reflect the love of Christ to everyone? These are hard questions, right? Maybe not, but if we're really digging deep, I think we can find this could be a tough question. Are we really posturing our hearts, living lives that reflect the love of Christ to everyone? Or are we choosing who gets to see our light? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is good stuff to know. Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Ouch. Ouch. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a sobering reminder. It's possible to do all the right things in his name. It's possible to prophesy, cast out demons, perform miracles, and still not know him. That's crazy to me to even think that we have the power, the ability to do something that looks amazing, And it might put on a great show. But the show doesn't matter. The show's not where it's at. It's not about the show at all. Those are benefits. Those are positives. It's where is your heart? Is it with his heart? You can work in the name of Jesus and still not walk in love of Jesus. You can shout, Lord, Lord, and still close your heart to your neighbor. And what is his heart? What would you say the character of God is if I asked you right now? What is it? Compassion. Love. Yep. It's love. Compassion. What about the M word? You guys remember the M word? Mercy. Yeah. And you got the fruit, patience, kindness, all this good stuff. There's a lot of it. But mercy, the mercy of God. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. We're going to talk about light for a second. This is, you guys probably recognize, salt and light. Jesus is talking about light here. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out so that everyone will praise who? Your heavenly Father. Sometimes we have to be really careful about that because a lot of times we want to shine these good deeds and we receive praise back. Where does it need to go? Heavenly Father. When you guys receive praise from doing good deeds, point to who? Jesus, our heavenly Father. Point to the source. Give God glory. We're not trying to sit here and glorify a Samaritan that came and picked up a Jewish guy in the ditch. That's not the point of all this today. That's not the point of the scripture, is to praise a Samaritan. It's to praise the compassion and the love of the Father and what it means to be in communion with him in a way that we present his heart to others. If you are a follower of Christ, you carry his light. But that light isn't meant to be tucked under a basket, right? It's not meant to shine just in the church on Sundays or only for those who talk or who look, talk, or believe like us, right? You guys know this. We're not supposed to keep our light in this building. It goes out. You know that. It's meant to light up the whole house. That house includes your street, your job, the stranger on the corner, the person you don't agree with. Your light is supposed to glorify God, not just warm your own heart. So ask yourself, does my light shine in dark places or just in safe ones? I believe that the priest and the temple helper, their light shined in safe places, which actually meant it wasn't seen very much at all. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We're zooming through. This is fun. You guys keeping up? Am I going too slow? No? Okay. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Am I going too fast? Maybe I should ask that. Okay, good. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Next verse. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." The parable of the 10 virgins remind us to stay ready. Keep your lamps full. Keep your heart prepared. There is no wrongdoing that allows us as Christians to put love on the shelf and use our own experience or emotions to drive our actions. We need to be ready and full of the Spirit. If you're feeling weary, if you're tired of loving people who don't love you back, if you're shining your light and getting burned instead of blessed, don't quit. I don't know if that came through. Don't quit. Sound like it just quit just came through. Don't quit. Don't hide your light. The oil of the Holy Spirit will sustain you. Keep your lamp lit. Be prepared. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be connected in communion. That doesn't just mean take the wafer and the juice and whatever. That means really dive deep into the body of Christ and who he is and the blood that was shed and understand and pour your heart out in repentance to the only one that can save us. God sees your faithfulness, even when the world doesn't. God still sees your faithfulness. Sometimes when we follow Christ, it really looks different than what the world would expect us to look like when we follow Christ. But they'll still be able to recognize love. They'll still be able to recognize compassion. They'll still be able to recognize mercy, forgiveness. There's an old song that says, "They will know us. That they will know that we are Christians by our love." Who knows that one? Yeah. Must not be too old yet. All right. The world doesn't know we belong to Christ by our theology. I'll say it again. The world doesn't know we belong to Christ by our theology. They don't know that we belong to Christ by our sermons, the principles we stand on, or our social media posts. They don't know that we follow Christ because of that. Stating truth doesn't make us a Christian. Just like casting out demons and any of those, prophesying, doesn't make you a Christian. Stating truth doesn't make us a Christian. They will know you by your love. They will know you by your love. Not by who we fight, not by what we fight. We fight evil, we fight injustice. But the strongest weapon is love of God. Love is radical. Love is powerful. Love is what made Jesus endure the cross, and love is what will change the world. Even if it's one neighbor at a time. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. If we're going to talk about love, we got to talk about these verses. Just a reminder, love is patient and kind. Are you patient and kind? I hope so too. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Ouch, that one kind of hurt me. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. That one hurt too. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful. That's hard. And endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. But what if, no, every circumstance. So again, the question is not just, who is my neighbor? It's who am I being a neighbor to, right? Be less concerned with who you need to help and be more concerned with the opportunities that are at your right in front of you. Be more concerned about how you get to be a neighbor and less concerned about who you should be a neighbor to. It's who am I being a neighbor to, right? So who does and who does not get to see the light I carry? Am I going to put it under the basket? What's the little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yep, hide under a bush, oh no. I'm going to let it shine. It's fun and playful song, but man, that's good theology right there. Who am I loving, especially when it's hard? Sometimes we're a victim of something really bad. Something that's very hard. How are we loving back? It almost feels impossible. And I thank God for his grace in this, because I know this has not been a great place in my life to love back fully. So I thank God for his mercy and grace. But if we're going to talk about truth today, am I loving even my enemies? Am I loving even the ones who've hurt me? How do I love them? Let us be people who are known by love. Let our lives burn bright, fueled by the Holy Spirit. And when we meet Jesus face to face, may he not just know our works, but may he know us because we have abided in him. Can that be our prayer today? That we put ourselves aside, we put love at the forefront and compassion. That doesn't mean we accept everything. That's not what it's about. Love isn't about acceptance. It's about truly caring and drawing out into the presence of God, which if we're sharing in love, through God's love, not just in love, but through God's love, we bring that presence to the people alongside of us. We carry that power, that authority that you're talking about through love. It's going to be short today. I think you guys got enough. I think you guys got enough. So let's pray. Jesus, make us neighbors to the forgotten, the hurting, the ones we disagree with or disagree with us. God, help us be neighbors to them. Keep our lamps full of your Spirit, Lord. God, remind us to be in your word so that we don't just shine when it's easy, Lord, but when it's hard, we are still shining. Let your love shining through us point others to you, Lord. God, I pray for just that as we listen and we think about this and ponder these things from your word today, God, that we aren't burdened by it, but we are excited to go out in your name, in the name of Jesus, to the ones around us, and share in the love. God, if we're in this room, most likely we've felt that love. God, I pray that we don't keep that to ourselves. It's not ours to keep. It's ours to live through. And God, just as the Samaritan went to the man in the ditch, the Jewish man in the ditch, the one that despised him. God, I pray for that kind of a compassion to come out of the hearts of everyone in this building. God, I pray that we don't be fearful of being taken advantage of. We don't be fearful of not receiving as much as someone else. God, I pray that we look at you as being all we need. And that if we only even have just your name written on our hearts, we have everything this world could offer and more. God, we thank you for this, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.